If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is, Your True Self, Fully Present, is God. So, let's take a deep breath and feel that anointing as it washes down from the top of your head all the way through your body. You may experience it as chills, or heat, or gentle rocking of your body. And just intend and evoke the complete, matchless, pure integration of your consciousness continuum, extending from the very heart of Source, gracefully caressing the multidimensional levels of life and expression, and coming gently to caress your innermost being in your precious physical temple, and placing your hand or hands upon your heart. Take a deep breath and just think of how much love and gratitude you feel for the one you love most of all in your life. The gratitude and love that you feel, perhaps as I do, for the presence of the Beloved, the Divine Spirit within you that lives through you as you. And allow that wonderful, loving gratitude to spread like warm honey all the way through your body, cleansing, releasing, clearing, and healing whatever has been accrued to this moment. Take a deep breath. And imagine aqua, pure, living water flowing down the top of your head, throughout your innermost being, all your sensory organs, inner and outer, right down through your DNA, your cells, your very mitochondria, clearing, healing, purifying, cleansing and releasing all that no longer serves your highest purpose. And lovingly consecrate yourself to be the fullness of your divine presence, to be tutored from within by the Divine Spirit in how to host more of your holiness. For your holiness, truly, is the Savior of this world. Your holiness is the Christ in you, the hope and glory. Your holiness and that of God is identical. Receive of it, embrace of it, allow it to absorb your thoughts and sense of self. It is enough if you remember but that, that you are as God created you, eternally and forever. Had no dream episode in this holodeck of time and space has ever cast a shadow upon who and what you are forever. That is the sense of self that we need to embrace of, even as we let go of the lesser ideas that we've held of limitation and lack. It is your fullness that is being called forward at this time. For your holiness is needed in this world. And you are holy. And so, beloveds, your true self, fully present, is God. How is that, you might ask? Your true self is simply present as that which is. That which is God, is the all-encompassing, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful spirit that we source as our own awareness. Awareness, God, soul, spirit, light are actually all one and the same. We live and move and have our being in that divine awareness. And so we are becoming more consciously aware of that which is our true self. So the one hook you could hang your hat on forever and always is that no matter what is taking place in your life, God is present in you, with you, around you, above you, below you, on either side of you, in back of you, in front of you. You are entirely encompassed in the divine presence of eternal love, eternal life, eternal peace. A peace that is dynamic and active, attentive and aware, and highly creative. For in the higher realms of the divine consciousness, we actually create from peace. I know we're not used to thinking of peace in terms of it being vitally active and creative. We tend to think of peace as stasis in this world. But there's no peace in stasis. There's only stagnation. And we know spirit is a dynamic crucible of potential, ever-seeking coalescement by our consciousness and our intent into manifestation. And so, out of the peace that is the that which is, we, as awareness, ever awakening to more and more of our divine potential, begin to exercise our peace as we become conscious co-creators with divine spirit. We begin to source directly through the peace of our own presence, fully present. You're always able to handle the moment, always, because that moment is pregnant with the presence and with unlimited potential. If you do not seek to drag the past into this present moment, and if you do not step out of the present moment by distracting yourself into the future. Your present fulfillment is going to be excellent and impeccable. In fact, impeccability without being fully present is impossible. It is one of the keys to impeccability, is to learn the power of the present moment, the power of now. So take a deep breath and occupy present beingness now. You know, your true self, this sense of present being, has no resistance, no issues, no withheld love. So your problems, issues, reservations, fears, doubts, negativity in all forms, are all false. They're all part of the false self, the ego, which is a purely self-generated or self-projected image that you have based on what you perceive as your limitation. It's an idea that you've all made up in your mind, but it has no real substance. But the ego is never content with that which is. That's how you can tell you're in the ego, because it's in a continual state of discontent and angst and resistance of what's going on in the present moment. In fact, it doesn't even know what it is to be present in the moment. It's that part that drags the albatross of your past, stinking and polluting into your present. It's that part that seeks to manipulate and make sure of its survival into the future, having no faith in present abundance. So you are a potential Christ now, starting to emerge from the closet of your own self-imposed limitation. So your first task is in freeing yourself. And you free yourself by learning to discern your real divine self from your false ego. And the discerning criteria is so simple. Your true self lives in joyous acceptance of life as that which is. And your false self is never joyous nor ever accepting of life as it is. Your false self has issues with everything and can never be at peace and truly happy, because it's the very opposite of truth. And happiness is the companion of truth. So the false self is an image of yourself that you've made up, a self that is separate from God, a self that is a victim of a cruel and meaningless world, a self that sees everything and everyone as a threat to be warded off or a thing to be used and discarded, but never loved. The false self, being in every way the opposite of what you truly are and remain forever as one with God, is the very opposite of plenty, of abundance, of all good. The false self always sees the lack and always fears devastation. In a sense, it's being prophetic, because it is destined to be destroyed in the love of your true self, not destroyed as something that is real, but simply dissolved as a little dark cloud might be by the radiance of the sun. So again, your true self, fully present, is God. Your key here is to stay present, here and now, with whatever is going on in this moment. Remind yourself that you can always handle this moment, no matter what it is. Your problems appear when you resist what is going on. Or again, try to drag the past into the moment, or control and manipulate what you fear might happen in the future. The ego always fears the future because it's a control freak. It's always manipulative and controlling and trying to call the shots. It takes actual form as your lower mind. Of itself, it has no form, but it lodges in that part of the negative thinking that far too often we tend to heed. If we could learn to just ignore it. If it isn't the good news, it's no news at all. If it isn't the gospel, that is to say the good news of the glory of the Christ that you are, it's not worth listening to. So why bother? The false self is always in a state of resistance. It resists truth and light. It resists joining, harmony, or agreement in any form. The ego is always contentious because the ego is the very form of contention in the manifestation of separation, which again is the opposite of the truth of your eternal union and oneness with God. So the false self does all it possibly can to control all of your thinking so that you're forever fighting or fleeing non-existent enemies and warding off imaginary threats. Today the false self has projected all of these scarcity and end-of-the-world scenarios that you see and hear almost from every single media outlet. And not a single one is worthy of 2 seconds of your attention. Get this. The ego self absolutely demands drama. The more fear-promoting, the more horrific, the scarier the drama, the more the ego loves it. Why? Because the ego thrives on threat. If there isn't one, it will certainly manufacture one, and is busy doing that continually. Because peace is impossible for falsehood. Just know that whenever you watch the news and hear the doom and gloom prognostications, that you are listening to the ego's version of what is happening, not what is really taking place. The ego wants you to be afraid and in continual panic mode, because that's what it feeds, falsehood, and keeps it going. Yeah. Fear is the food of falsehood. And boy, do we keep it well fed today, don't we? So, do you want to stop the world and get off? You can, if you're willing to do what it takes. What would that be? Well, for one, stop reading about, thinking about, talking about what's wrong with the world. Or yourself and others. Just stop it. Cease putting your focus upon negative, sad, depressing, fearful scenarios, or projecting them upon the world and the future. To stop it. You are not here to be a darkness worker, but a light worker. Way too many light workers are lending their energies to fuel the ego's version of life. How are we doing that? Well, every time you give voice to criticizing, judging, bad-mouthing, denigrating, anyone or anything for any reason, or any time you fight for and join the war against anyone or anything, you are causing this conflict to continue. Every time you rant and rail and rage against what they, quote-quote, are doing, and vent your spleen and pollute the air with your grievances, you are promoting the very thing you are opposing. I can just hear many of you saying, well, what about the economy? What about the homeless? What about the HARP, the chemtrails, and the cabal, the Illuminati, the terrible things that are happening in the world? Well, okay, what about them? What can you do about any of that? Let's get really practical here. You could even make a list, if you like, of exactly what you personally can do about whatever it is you think is wrong with the world. I think what you'll discover is that for every finger that you point at another, all the other fingers are pointing back to you. So it all comes back to you. What are you doing to not contribute to the wrongs you see in the world? Remember, we only see without what we have not healed within ourselves. So the question then becomes, can you accept full accountability and full responsibility for your own life and actions? Can you cease contributing to the problem and begin living as the solution you desire? Good question, isn't it? A constant exercising of our spiritual inner awareness. So there's nothing your holiness, your divine presence, fully present, cannot do. There's nothing your holiness cannot heal or dissolve or transform. But what blocks this most often is our resistance to what is going on in our life and in the world around us. And this very resistance and the desire that things be different from the way they are keeps our false self running the show through misdirecting our thinking and our allowing that to take place through lack of awareness. We're in charge of our thoughts. We're in charge of what we allow to remain in our mind. We're in charge of what we accept as a belief. We're in charge of what we read, listen to, feed our minds upon. We're in charge of who we keep company with. We're in charge of the 24 hours a day we all have. How are you using the time that you have? How much time do you spend in the presence, in getting acquainted with that presence, in basking in the bliss of that presence? Have you ever experienced your delicious divine essence? Have you ever had a wafting of your divine essence? When you do, I promise you, you'll absolutely fall in love with the beloved that you are. You will so relish your own company that you can be alone with such comfort that you don't want to mess up that quiet time with any form of distraction. You become completely present. And in that complete presence, you feel that you have expanded until the entirety of creation and all the cosmos resides within you. You awaken and find yourself in the heart of all beings. You experience yourself shining from every star. You gaze into the vastness of the beautiful sky and the myriads of worlds within worlds. And you know that you reside everywhere, in all of them, as and through everyone. And that soul fills you with bliss, that there is nothing anywhere within you that senses any kind of separation. You have become the all in all, eternally present, everywhere. Where, then, is there room for angst, or worry, or fear, or separation? These things cannot even cause a ripple upon your pristine awareness once you have wafted and tasted of your own blessedness, your own beauty, your own holy presence. Do not think that I'm being irreverent here or humanistic. You will find these same references in the Bible, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedas. It is the truth of truths that all mystics and enlightened beings awaken to. That is why they are mystics. They seek union with the beloved. And the beloved, in the midst of their seeking, finds them. For all the time they thought they were seeking, love was seeking them. And it is inevitable that the beloved is drawn to the lover, even as the lover draws the beloved, until they become as one. An eternal conjugal union. So yes, beloved, sit in the silence. Here is a wonderful spiritual practice. Sit in the silence and listen to all the sounds you can possibly register in your environment. The hum of your refrigerator, the traffic outside, the dog barking in the distance, sirens and horns. Or perhaps if you live in a more rural area, you'll hear the birds or the sounds of other animals, the wind in the trees, the dripping of rain. That flows down the rain gutters on the sides of your house, or pitter-patter, pitter-patters on the top of your roof, or down your chimney. Just note all of the sounds. Children playing. Perhaps people arguing in the next apartment. Make no judgment or discrimination. just the ears hearing, the awareness, attentive and aware. Be, just be. And you'll notice as you do that and you've paid attention to all the outer sounds without resistance, without judging, without labeling, you'll notice that you're aware of an inner sound, a sound beyond sound itself. There's the outer sound called the dynamic, and the inner voice of the silence called the monadic. And that inner voice of the silence is your own holiness speaking and singing the song of the beloved. Listen to that inner sound. Listen to the outer sounds until you hear both clearly, the inner and the outer. Bath. In that sound bath of the living word. For that is the voice of the presence. That is the Bhagavad Gita, God singing within you. That is your eternal connection to the all that is. That is your place of safety and refuge, where you're simply present in the presence of all that is, of all love, of all life. Whether you quietly do that each day for a period of time, you will find yourself awakening and sensitive to God in a way that you've never known before. A quiet, simply being in the presence. I have practiced this my entire life in some form or another. In fact, I learned to be in the presence of God living in a circus troupe in a small trailer with 14 yelling Italians of all ages, from 80-something to 2 years of age. I had to learn how to be in the presence and in the silence in the midst of the hullabaloo. That was how I survived. Sometimes your environment forces you inward. Well, there's no place else to go. And I learned the presence and the silence, and to learn to live above fear, hanging by my teeth and sliding down slanted wires. Who in their right mind does that to make a living? I used to ask myself that, but I did it. Well, the point I'm making is that we need to be mystics in the midst of the mess. In the midst of the mayhem, we need to find that mystic way to dwell in the presence of that which is, of the all that is, and be present without resistance, without hatred, without againstness, without constantly battling that which is, but finding some way to dance with it. find some way to have tea with your terror. Have a glass of apple juice with your angst. dear ones. You know, all is well, no matter how it looks. I think that everything that we're afraid of is going to be found a lie. I think that everything that we have imagined would happen in our worst case scenario is simply going to vanish from our minds. I believe that every transmission that we are privileged to participate in is another way that the Holy Spirit is bringing us to pure being and pure bliss. I believe that every time we have these sound immersions in truth, that we are awakening a bit more to our holiness, and that the resistance is dissolving, the fear is vanishing, and that which has been the veil that has prevented us from seeing the beauty of the beloved all around us, in the faces of our friends, the faces of our so-called enemies, the beauty of nature, the hubbub of the cities. I love all of it. I love being in the midst of the hubbub of the cities. I love being in the villages of India where there is such simplicity and such happiness, even though the life is very minimal in terms of what we would consider the comforts. The people have simple hearts filled with devotion and faith. And basically, you'll see more smiles in those simple faces and villagers than you will ever see walking down one of our western city streets. I think that people are very much the same. But my goodness, the approach is different when we don't place so many demands upon the outer world to fulfill us. Haven't you noticed that no matter what you receive in the outer, it's never enough to that full self that lives in lack, to that ego that thrives on drama? There's never enough. But your being is brimming over. And it's that brimming over of your true beingness that blesses the world with abundance. So that your very state of consciousness, of simply being present fully as who you truly are, becomes the very saving force that lifts us collectively into a new state of being, into a new consciousness. A new life is being birthed out of your bliss, out of your beingness. Okay, let's look for a moment at some of the things that block that. I mentioned resistance. It's so important to move your awareness from resistance to acceptance. Remember the last time someone said something to you, or you read or heard something, and you got all uptight inside? Your stomach felt like it was tied in a knot. I think we can all relate. It's a feeling in the upper abdomen of tension and discomfort. And sometimes the resistance is so intense, it can actually make one feel nauseated. Usually, this is an emotional reaction. And it's that level of emotional resistance and reaction that can lead to all sorts of digestive disorders, even to the point of creating ulcers. Fighting and resisting mentally over some idea or concept that one violently opposes can actually cause severe headaches, even to the point of migraines. Usually, stomach, digestive, and intestinal disorders and headaches, which are often related, or a pain on any level, is caused by some form of resistance, emotionally, mentally, or both. And so many people live in a constant state of resistance. And it causes such discomfort that they'll go to all lengths to dull or mask or numb out the pain. There's some means, usually alcohol, smoking, sex, illegal and prescriptive medication, drugs, gambling, loud music, constant need for some form of distraction. And you know, when you look at the people on the planet, nearly everyone is suffering from resistance in some form and attempting to mask the pain by some outer means. You know, fomenting discontent with the way things are and desiring them to be different, that's the ego's main occupation. You know, it's never content. It's never going to be satisfied. So we could make it real simple here by simply stating that resistance equals pain. And whenever we are living from thinking rather than being present with that which is, we will experience pain on some level. So pain is the sign of the ego mind in action. So whenever you feel pain, emotionally, mentally, or anguish in any form, or physical dis-ease, stop and just be willing to look at it and be with it. Most often the resistive reaction is entirely unconscious, and so it's just as quickly denied and muffled. And when that takes place, it goes entirely unacknowledged. And because we're unaware, it's just become an automatic way of denying and muffling it. We're not able to clear it. So your presence, fully present, with that resistive pattern, dissolves it. You just need to be present with it and not try to avoid it, mask it, rationalize it, understand it, explain it. You just look at it. Those of you who have been privileged to go in and see Bratzo, beautiful Croatian man who simply stands on a box and and looks at you. Well, know the power of the gaze of a being that's fully present. That is presence, that gaze of Brazzo that can transform your life and heal you and cause the very heavens to descend into the room where he's standing so that everyone has an experience of unconditional pure love. That is the presence and the power of the presence of one simply looking through the eyes of truth. So the power of your looking from your divine presence, when you're simply present with yourself, without judging, without labeling, without struggle, without critiquing, without trying to change, shift, alter, or mess with yourself in any way, you just stay present and look. The light of your soul pours through your inner gaze and your outer eyes and transforms that situation, just like that. So stay present with yourself. You know, until you're consciously willing to make an effort to look at what and why you are resisting, and you're not willing to challenge that discomfort, you'll be unable to tap that inner peace that is hidden by that resistance. And you know, the ego mind always has a story it uses just to try to convince you that you're justified in resisting or fearing or whatever negative pattern you go into. The ego has its story. That's why you have to watch those thoughts as they arise and discern whether or not they're worthy of your attention. Again, if they don't point to the Christ that you are, they're not worthy of your time. Just let them flow through and not get snagged. Don't host them. Usher them through. As I've said, thought is flowing like a river. Your thoughts, the collective thoughts, our thoughts. And the only snag where there's an affinity of similarity. So allow the mind stream to flow without attaching yourself or allowing attachment. When you really want peace more than discomfort and resistance, you will stop and you'll deal with it. You'll deal with those areas of resistance and discomfort the moment they arise. Yeah, the moment they arise, just notice, oh, that's interesting. I'm really resisting that thought. How interesting. And just stay and watch it. And remind yourself that you'd rather have the peace of God than that. So usher it through. Let it go. Realize it is not necessary. And move on. When you are really willing to be happy rather than right, that resistance is going to not be so predominant. Usually people want to be right. That's why they're resistant. So resistance comes from your conflict with that which is. And that which is, eternally, is spirit. So don't resist spirit, because that is the only thing that is going to be forever with you. So as the old saying goes, what is simply is. And fighting that which is not the solution. Why? Because the very resistance to whatever it is what is holding that condition in place. You know, what you resist persists. So your fighting is actually making it real in your own mind. And your resisting and fighting is what is giving. Whatever you are resisting, it's enduring quality in the world. So spiritual awareness and self-mastery is all about taking responsibility for your state of consciousness. And you have the right and the power of choosing what you will lend your creative energy to sustaining in this world. And individually, we're either lending energy to the world's conflict or to world peace by the very energies that we are creating, radiating, and relating with and to. So there's no such thing as fighting for peace by resisting aggression or attaining any kind of sustainable global harmony through promoting war. You don't fight for peace. It's an oxymoron. War, fighting, conflict, resisting, those are all part of the old paradigm. And where we keep perpetrating continual wars over this cause or that cause, to where there's always some form of war taking place in some place in the world, usually multiple places at the same time in the world. Why is that? Because we're at war within our own self. We're resisting the holiness of our wholeness, of our perfect presence in that which is, as that which is, God. So in any case, the only place that we can possibly end global war is to confront our own inner warring and resistance. So where do we start? Well, first, simply notice whenever you're uptight. And notice why your ego is feeling threatened. Yes, it's always your false self, the ego, that is resisting. What else is going to resist? Your true? No, your true self doesn't resist. So it's always the ego that is resisting and getting into negativity. The ego is spelled F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Or edging God out. It's a complete, you know, X-ing out of God, forgetting about God, and worshiping the negative through fear. So fear is simply disguised as resistance, and as the Course in Miracles points out, there are only two emotions, fear and love. So whenever you're not in loving and acceptance, you're in some form of resistance or fear. So then, when this resistance comes up, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Regardless of whether it's resistance in the form of anger or confrontation of some sort of in a negative way, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Why am I feeling threatened here? And be willing again to just look and see what's really going on with you. There's really no need to do anything else but to simply acknowledge that you are expressing resistance. And by simply acknowledging that consciously, you have brought your unconscious fear reaction into the light of your awareness, and there it is dissolved in that light. Just like the shadows that look like boogeymen and monsters disappear when you turn the lights on and look, so your resistance and your fear in disguise will vanish in the light of your awareness. Just know that the real you is awareness itself. And that awareness is the very light of truth within you. And awareness is the truth that will set you free. So gaining more conscious awareness is our task, isn't it? So today, humanity is undergoing the necessary disrupting to dislodge them in the areas where they are most resistant to change, the most stuck and entrenched. And not a single earthquake, storm, or other upheaval would be necessary if we could all remain centered and calm and respond to the events in our life with loving goodwill and acceptance. But since souls on earth are at all various stages of development and spiritual maturation, that's not practical or possible at this time, nor is it really part of the divine plan for this cycle. Therefore, we can only live from the highest level that we have attained. And many of you who are volunteer souls here on Earth Assignment are spiritually advanced, far more so than the bulk of the Earth's population. So your opportunity and your responsibility are therefore greater in assuming that you have the power of your presence in assuring that the big one never comes. At least none of these horrid disasters that everyone keeps fearing, none of them happen while this particular life wave is still inhabiting this third dimension. So that a wipeout polar shift need not happen in real time. So that World War III never occurs. So our transition into a higher state of consciousness can be full of grace and ease. For we are serving as the midwives, the rebirthing experts in this process. So remember, beloved, there is nothing your holiness cannot do. Say it with me. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. My holiness blesses the world. And my holiness blesses you. And your true self, your holiness, fully present, is God. So, let's take a deep breath and lovingly chant, "You," as we send our loving vibration out to bless the entire world. Deep breath. "You." The light and the love of that which is the eternal, omnipresent, one divine creative source fill and dissolve the fear of every man, woman, and child on the planet, and with it all of the warring that rages on those levels. May they instead be filled with the love of God and the peace of the divine presence. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, Adonai.